Hello, I'm Kevin Henry, and I am thrilled to introduce you to a brand new, informative, and entertaining podcast called Limitless Journeys, the African Immigrant Podcast. Listeners to this podcast are in for a real cultural treat as we kick off a series of podcast episodes that will inspire, educate, and enlighten. Now let me step aside and let the hosts introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Mara C.K.
And I'm David Bolinda.
And you're listening to Limitless Journeys, the African Immigrant Podcast. Yeah, so I thought it would be nice to start off this episode by really, you know, a lot of people don't know. I mean, they might go to a farm or they might go to a greenhouse, but they really don't know all the work that goes on behind the scenes and how you get started and all the work that goes into it. It's like when people go to a movie, most people will go to a movie because it's a certain story, but they want to see certain actors, you know, so they might only be aware of the 30 people that are the actors. But then when you read the credits, you know, if you stay at the end of the movie, you read the credits, there's like 500 names. Those are all jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all important jobs. So maybe you could just start off by just starting kind of at the beginning when you first started. You say, okay, we want to open this business and this farm and do this. How did you start? I mean, how did you start the whole process of doing this?
So I think what I probably can start by saying is that as people of color, it's sometimes very hard to find a space. So it started with a conversation. Let's start there. We are looking for food that we enjoy eating. How or where can we grow it? So we did that. Ask questions. Do you think this weather is favorable for the food? And they said, what does any crop need? It needs water, it needs a sun, and then it needs soil. So we say, then how do we find land that we can be able to grow our own food? Because at that time, we were trying to figure out, first of all, living in areas where there's so many restrictions through the HOAs, for example. You would not just go out there and start planting corn out there or vegetables. So the conversation was, where do we start? How do we start? And we were very lucky at that time, years ago, when we got a friend of ours that we met, who became a friend of ours actually from a different organization, who said, hey, I have just been given a place to farm. It's a greenhouse. It's somewhere in urban that's no longer being used, but it needs a lot of work. It needs a lot of work. So we went there and we were very excited. We invited a few people who we thought would be interested. Who else could be interested in farming? So we had like six people who were interested. So the place, we did a lot of groundwork just to remove. There was a lot of trash, a place that has been neglected for years. You can find a lot of debris, old stuff. The irrigation systems were not working. There was no water, there's no bathrooms, so it was really horrible. But slowly, slowly, we started removing all that stuff, cleaning it up. And we said we're going to do it portion by portion because this is a huge greenhouse. And if we just think we can do it all at once, we would be breaking our backs. So we did a lot of volunteer work at that time, cleaned up the greenhouse. I built boxes. So we said we started building boxes because we were given a portion that would be for us as Wakulima. And that's how we started. And then from that, we got soil. We got a lot of support initially from King Conservation District, from King County, from Highland College. Bobby Butler really helped us in establishing the spaces to till the land, especially. To teach us about the soil quality and what crops do what. KCD, at that time, there was a lady called Melissa Tatro working at KCD, and she really was a gem in all this preparation. So that's where we started with the space from Living Well Kent in Urban.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. That's very clear on how things developed. During this whole process, and this is a question for both of you, what was it like, I guess, emotionally? You know, a lot of times, again, when people will come to a business, they'll think, and I used to think this, like, oh, wow, wouldn't it be great to own my own business? I can just kind of, you know, show up and say hi to everybody and then go play four hours of golf or something because it's so easy and whatever. Was it ever like a real kind of, hard process, or did everything kind of go smoothly? So you woke up every day and you were excited, or was it like, oh my goodness, there's like so many headaches we got to deal with? Was it fun? I guess is the question.
It was rough, I can say that. And initially, actually, it was not even being thought as a business. It was getting food, culturally relevant foods for our members and encouraging people to see that as an opportunity for growing healthier foods. That was the initial goal. It was not easy, even because we were doing all pro bono work. We were not getting paid by anybody. We were not even able to know what the regulation is in case you wanted to sell. We don't know how, what to grow. But one thing we were very sure about is that we're not going to be using any chemicals on our crops. So that was clear from the very from the very beginning. There were so many things. We didn't have money. I remember one time some of the initial farmers walked for like miles and miles because the farm, the greenhouse was a little distant. The bus does not get there. So they would walk and for probably 3, 4 miles just to get to the greenhouse and then start digging and doing all that hard work. And most of the time, they didn't even probably have any lunch. So it was tough initially, but the vision was what was inspiring. That was what was encouraging that we see this. And myself, as one of the founders, I thought this can be a great, great, great opportunity for us as a community to come together under one group called Wakulima, which means farmers in Swahili, USA, and then invite young people, invite new talent. And it was very inspiring to see the young people when they were invited, how they responded. And the community members. So there was hunger in getting the right opportunities. There was the need in our community where people really wanted to farm but didn't know where to go. So once we started that little space, we were able to expand very quickly, thanks to God. Highland Community College came in and supported us and said, "Hey, we have some more land in case you guys are interested." And we're like, "Yay!" And then incrementally over the years, we've been growing every year and seeing a lot of good progress.
Well, now, Commissioner Mara, were you involved in this particular portion of the process? And if so, what were you doing while David was doing just doing what he just described, I guess?
Think the nature part, the going and bonding with the soil, that was really fun, and having a lot of people come to the farm, the youth, that was really fun. But financial part of it was not fun because we were still new in the business. We didn't know how to run the business, and it takes a lot of learning, and we're still in the learning process in terms of the financial aspect of it, the business side of it. But now gradually, and now that we are attracting a lot of funding and we have our own farm, we are looking to have a business operation that is structured completely. And thanks to a lot of business partners that we partner with that are inspiring us to do the business aspect of it. So talking about the other part, about the farm, I actually just came from the farm and it was fun. It was fun to deal with the soil and everything. But now with the knowledge that I know how many pounds go in, how many pounds come out, how much each product is going to be, how much the investment is going to be, how much time allocation, and all this are helping build the structure of the bigger picture when we get our own piece of land
Okay.
in terms of finances.
And so typically, maybe just even back up a little bit and walk me through kind of a typical day, Commissioner Mara, as far as what might be a typical day. You get up in the morning and what happens after that?
So I can give you like my day today. So I get up in the morning, I went to the farm, and then I have meetings. I have all types of meetings because like I said before, I'm a business mogul. So I have my business. I have to run the farming business. Then there's Wakulima business. There's the commissioner work. There's also these other kinds of community events that we are planning right now. We are getting ready for summer. That's typically what happens during my day. After this, I'm gonna hop onto another meeting. It's just meetings after meetings, and it's fun for me. Joy, I love what I do. I'm not forced there.
Typically, like Dixon, who's normally the farm manager, he wakes up early. I'm trying to run through his day. I hope I can. Drops the kids to school, and then he's at the farm by, I want to say, around 9 o'clock. At that point, he would be allocating portions, which he would be inspecting what, you know, what's going on, allocating portions to, you know, if there are farmers who need allocation, finding what crops are needed. He works on stuff to do with the irrigation, because we have a shared property, and then we have to, each organization has its day for doing the irrigation work, making sure that weeds, people who were given the spaces, that they're using them, so that you can maximize the resource, because there's so much need, and the land is, we don't have a lot of land. So the numbers have been growing significantly over the past years, and we are seeing a lot. So after that, he would work literally almost all day, on and off, hop off in meetings and doing that. And we now have help for him from through EarthCo. We have somebody who's a farm specialist, and now she's working really to try and help build that farm structure, business structure of the farm, to make sure that we are able to operate independently at some point, in the next years or so. And then after that, it's all the weather, depending on the weather as well. Sometimes it gets too hot, so you can't do much. So you start early on those summer days, and sometimes it gets too wet. So depending on what day it is, we put a lot of work, especially in the morning hours, and sometimes later on in the evening, because now the sun has gone down, and you know, you know, it's cooler now at that point. So there's a lot that can go into a person's day, especially as a farmer.
You had mentioned, David, some activities coming up, fundraising activities, activities in the summer. Maybe both of you could talk a little bit about that.
Tomorrow is the summer girl.
So we have a Vigena festival that's coming up, and this is going to be a 2.0. It's right there. He has it on. He has the shirt on. So that's for the youth. Vijana means young adults or youth. So we have that where it's a cultural relevant event. We have everybody come there. We play games that are culture relevant to us. We have our own kind of food. We just try and bring people outside and have them just, have fun in the nature. And then we also are planning we have also family events that we do. We have a family event. We have a, I want to say a faith-based event that also happens. And we also have some sort of like a, it's called Pamoja Festival that happens annually. And Mavuno, yes, and Mavuno. So we try to partner with different organizations or different partners and help these events happen. So, and then we're looking forward, this year is going to be so amazing. We're looking forward to also have cohorts. We're looking forward to increase our capacity building in terms of even hiring more people for the organization. We are looking forward to actually getting our own piece of land and marking it and doing the purchase, hopefully. So there's a lot of good things that are coming out of Wakulima that are exciting for the summer. And we are also partnering with the young kids. It's an organization called STAND. It's a drug prevention organization. And we have now younger kids from the age of, I want to say 12 to 18.
That's very exciting. Now, I wonder if you could talk about what does a commissioner do? It sounds very important and it sounds very intimidating. So can you talk about that?
Yes, yeah, so what I do, I'm with the Public Arts Commissioner in Pierce County. So what we do, we sit in meetings and then we do the budget. We talk about what type of arts we need in Pierce County. We call for artists and we just have a good time as commissioners. And we also do a lot of, they have a harvest festival that is done every annually and where we do artwork. People come, different kind of people, they come, and then there's artwork. Probably if there's a drawing, everybody from the public can come and do that, can come and help with the drawing or just watch it. And then we also do budgets, we pass the budgets.
Well, that's great. I mean, it sounds like it's very fulfilling and it's enjoyable, and you get to be with people and meet people in a positive kind of environment. What else would you
Yes.
like the listeners and the viewers to know about what you're both involved in?
I think with the growth that we're experiencing, it is very important. We would want people to know that we are still seeking partners, especially people who can support our programs so that we can be more effective and We hire more people and be more productive in the work that we do. We have seen a lot of collaboration with a lot of organizations that have been very supportive to us, the county and the people, volunteers. We also will be having our annual event, Mavuno Festival, which is harvest. We call Mavuno harvest in Swahili, which will be sometime in October. And we would like to invite people who are willing to attend to just come and celebrate with us because it's the end of the season. We are basically giving thanks for the season that was as we share a common meal that most of the time is made from the foods that we have grown by the farmers themselves that represent different cultures. So it's a really beautiful day, Mavuno Festival. And hopefully this year we won't have much rain and we're going to have a lot of fun. But we just also want to encourage people to know that we will be selling our produce, and we are trying to consider doing farmers markets or local stand farm stands. We have requests from other people who would be interested in finding culturally relevant foods. And right now we are trying to see the possibility of having research done on the foods that we grow so that we could create a patent for Wakulima, so that whatever we grow, we say the nutritional value is this. And this is why what our ancestors used to eat. So we are connecting our origins, original source, and showing how these plants that you're growing are very valuable. Some of them are herbs that can help somebody get, you know, more, become feel better in case of things like high blood pressure, depression, or stuff like that.
Anything you'd like to add, Mara?
Yeah,
Teach
I
Mara.
want to add, we are also looking to do our first fundraising for this year. So we are going to have a fundraiser and we're going to announce the dates. Also, in terms of partnership and help, we are willing and accepting donations through our website in terms of building capacity for the organization and everything else that's just, you know, farm related. We are trying to incorporate arts for Wakulima, and this is also for Vijana. So we are trying to see how we can collaborate with some artists in form of maybe when we do the events, they come and perform, you know, or call for artists. We look for artists and we say, okay, we want our Wakulima van painted by an artist or however it works. So we are really, really expanding. And we are also hoping to, like I had said previously, increase our staff members so that we are not, you know, thin, stretched out. We're not really stretched out. Those are some of the good things that we are doing at the organization.
That's great. So give out the website address again.
Yes, and that will be wakulimausa.org.
Wonderful. Now
www.wakulimausa.org.
my
Yes,
final
and our
question. Oh.
email is, sorry,
No, you go ahead. Give out the email. Go ahead.
wakulimausa@gmail.com.
Perfect. Now my last question for both of you, because I've never asked this of you two before. What do you two do for fun when you're not doing this? Because I'm talking to you, talking about farming and Wakulima and all that stuff. But I mean, is it skydiving, cooking, rodeo riding?
I do traveling. I love traveling. I do traveling. I do outdoors, and I do a little bit of sherry.
A little bit of what?
Shere, it's called Shere. You gotta say Shere.
Sheree.
Yeah, that means party. Just mild though.
Just mild. Okay. All right. Well, what about David? David's probably into the skydiving, right? In the mountain climbing.
Yeah, actually, scuba diving. I don't even touch water. The only water I have is this.
That's it. No scuba diving,
No
no
scuba diving,
diving, basically.
no diving anywhere. But I love traveling and I love research and reading. But also, one of the things that I really enjoy doing is cooking and coming up with new ideas and new foods and just enjoying people. It gives me a lot of joy when I see people enjoying my food. And I know you will soon, so don't be.
Oh, I plan on it.
Yeah, I enjoy doing that. And the other thing is
And
just.
then give recommendations, okay? When you enjoy the food, Kevin.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Rate
I'll go on Yelp or something and
it.
say
Yeah.
and give it 5 stars.
Yes. 7 stars.
7 stars. 7 plus stars, 7.5 stars.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. All right, then. You have been listening to another episode of Limitless Journeys, the African Immigrant Podcast.